I know one thing, if I had a snowmobile in the shed, Mark, you'd be on this afternoon. When I got handed this message schedule, I saw the date. Now, they don't give us a topic. They just give us the date. So the topic is kind of, maybe I should say random. So what you're probably... Maybe I turned my head too much this morning. So you're going to get a message on me this morning. You also know it's the first Sunday after Valentine's Day, so yous out there who are hoping for a message on dinner dates and limo rides might be disappointed. To give you a background of what triggered this message this morning, I'll share you a scenario that happened to me. I was driving in Berks County one day. Now, this isn't a knock on Berks County drivers. I was parked at a red light. Right lane turned right, center lane went straight ahead, turned left, left lane turned left. I was in the center lane. There was a car beside me, left-hand lane, and we were both planning to turn left. Light changed green. I proceeded to pull into the intersection. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw the guy on the left-hand side of me stopped. I looked at the light quick. It was green. I stopped. And about that time, a vehicle that I had not seen before comes flying through the red light. And I said, boy, this is my lucky day. Then I thought about it for a little bit and said, nah, it was just because I was an observant driver. As the day went on, I processed this a little more and I said, is there more to it? I'm going to use 1 Samuel here this morning, parts of 1 Samuel this morning to lay some background for this. First Samuel 1, I'm going to start here in chapter 4. It all has to do with the Israelites and the Philistines and stuff. And chapter 1 says, at the time the Israelites went out to fight the Philistines, the Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines went out to meet the Israelites in battle, and as the battle spread, they defeated the Israelites, killing about 4,000 soldiers on the battlefield. When some Israelite soldiers went back to their camp, the older leaders of Israel asked, why did the Lord let the Philistines defeat us? Let's bring the ark of the agreement with the Lord here from Shiloh and take it with him to battle. Then God will save us from our enemies. So the people sent men to Shiloh. They brought back the Ark of the Agreement with the Lord, all-powerful, who sits between the gold creatures with wings. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Pinehas, were there with the Ark. When the Ark of the Agreement was with the Lord came to camp, all the Israelites gave out a great shout of joy that made the ground shake. When the Philistines heard the Israel shout, they said, what are they all shouting about in the Hebrew camp? I want to jump down and start there at verse 10. Basically, the Philistines said, they got scared and they said, we're going to fight like men. But verse 10 says, the Philistines fought hard to defeat the Israelites, and every Israelite soldier ran away to his own house. It was a great defeat for Israel because 30,000 Israelite soldiers were killed. Then the ark was captured. Let's jump out here, start in verse 5. Read the first couple verses here. Chapter 5, excuse me, read the first couple verses. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. They carried it into Dagon's temple. and put it next to Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rode early the next morning and found that Dagon had fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they put Dagon back in his place. The next morning when they arose, they again found Dagon fallen on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and his hands were broken off and were lying in the doorway. Only his body was still in place. I'm going to jump down to chapter 6 here and read verse 7 through 9. And before we do that, they moved the ark from the Dagon temple to the town, and all the people got sick. So they moved it to the next town, and all them people started getting sick. So they moved it to the next one, and all those people started getting sick. And finally they said, this thing's got to go back. It's got to go back. So, first part of chapter 6 here, they go through the ritual about sending this thing back. And I'm going to pick up here in verse 7. The Philistines, magicians said, you got to build a new court. You must build a new court and get two cows that have just had calves. These must be the cows that have never been had a yoke on their necks. Hitch the cows to the cart. Take the calves at home, away from the mother. Put the ark of the Lord on the cart and the gold models of the penalty offering in the box beside the ark. Then sent the cart straight on its way. Watch the cart. If it goes toward Beth Shemesh in Israel's own land, the Lord has given us this great sickness. But if it doesn't, we know that Israel's God has not punished us. Our sickness just happened by chance. Good luck, bad luck, luck of the draw. What was it? How do I live my life? Unfortunately, too many times I find myself doing that. Most times, you know, we can say natural law, physical law. And unless we figure out some logical, reasonable explanation, we're not happy. It just got to make sense. Let's look at the taking of the ark into battle for number one. Well, who was having a bad day? Well, the Israelites, I guess. I thought of myself. Things aren't going so good. You know what? I'll spend an extra 5 minutes in devotions this morning. You know, I'll pull God over on my side. And, you know, I'll be good. We can work out well. We get this half-hearted hookup with God and say, you know, God's on my side. It's just got to work. Did it work for the Israelites? They took the ark into battle. I mean, 40,000 or 30,000 got killed. The ark got captured. Bad day? Unlucky day? Maybe it was a lucky day for the Philistines. They captured the ark after all. Yeah, the Israelites were excited about it, and we should be too. We hook up with God. Yeah, there's days, yeah, God's on my side, you know, I'm gonna, you know, it's gonna be good today. And we say, because I'm hooked up with God, you know, I gotta be, you know, my health's gotta be good, you know, my bills gotta get paid, and you know, that's because God's on my side. And everything's going to be okay. The problem is, we think it's got to be in our terms. It's got to be in my definition. it is going to be okay. What I forget is some days, or actually not some days, all days, it's in God's terms. It's in, you know, he defines what's okay, not me. We've got to describe, always got to work things out by physical force. It happened by, you know, physical force or luck of the draw or whatever. The ark was captured. Probably by physical force to a certain degree. I could spend probably the next 5 minutes saying that, you know, the Israelites were outnumbered, the Philistines had better weapons and better generals, and I don't know. That's why it got taken. They moved it to the temple. They set it in front of Dagon's god. That might not be a good scenario this morning. What's going to make that glass fall over? Newton's first law goes to something about, you know, every object in a state of rest or uniform motion tends to remain in that state unless an external force is applied. So it should stay standing there, right? Did Dagon's god stay standing? They fell down, didn't they? What? Why? Because gravity pulled them to the ground. The same thing had happened if I knocked that glass off of there. Gravity pulled the ground. So gravity knocks Dagon's god's ground, right? Done deal. I explained it. It's over. Right? Or Dagon just had a bad day that day. Yeah, he's an unlucky day. Fortunately, there's a lot more to it than that. Why gravity? I can explain everything away with gravity. And as I thought about that, there's an account in Matthew 14:22, we all know that, where Jesus walked in the water. I don't know about you. I know I can go on water, but I got to have speed behind it. So gravity doesn't apply because Jesus defied gravity. He walked on water. Jesus created the world. Surely there's not, we just can't describe everything by gravity. What about the people getting sick? Well, we all know people get sick. Natural law says, you know, people are going to get sick. And I'm not here to say why it happens to good people or why it happens to bad people. That's not the thing. What I'm here to say is natural law, sometimes we describe things away with natural law because it was just supposed, it happens that way. That's the way things work. Then I thought about numbers here, Balaam and a donkey. Natural law says donkeys speak. I never seen one speak. So I guess that theory goes out the door. And what about Lazarus? If I understand right, the Bible said he didn't smell too good. So I think, you know, that meant he was pretty well dead. And if he was pretty well dead, they don't come back to life. So we throw that natural law theory out the door, too. Too many times I find myself trying to explain things out by how I think it should have worked or why it worked. I'm going to read John 9:1 here. That's the account of the blind man. I'm just going to read it because I think John 9:1-3 is is where Jesus heals a blind man. He says, And Jesus walked along, he saw a man who had been blind, who had been born blind. His followers asked him, "Teacher, whose sin caused this man to be born blind, his own sin or his parents' sin?" Jesus answered, "Is not the man's sin or his parents' sin that made him blind? This man was born blind so that God's power could be shown in him." And jumping down to 8:9, it says, "The neighbors and some of the people who had earlier seen this man begging said, 'Isn't that the same man who sat and begged?' Some said, 'It is he.' Others said, 'No, it only looks like him.'" Here we go again, trying to describe, trying to figure out a way why it was supposed to work. Sometimes God moments are just there. They're like, "Wow, God." But too many times I find myself missing the many more subtle ones, because I try to figure it out that, you know, it was just luck of the draw today. Or, you know, well, gravity worked in this, or natural causes, or physical force, or whatever. And I missed the point. I missed what the moment God's trying to show me. And maybe I reach around and pat myself on the back a little bit, because I'm so caught up in some logical or reasonable explanation of why it happened. Explaining how it happened is the easy part for us. But too many times we got to explain and figure out and understand why it happened. And that's where it gets a lot more complicated. Because it doesn't always work. We can't always explain it out the way we think it should happen. I'll tell you a story about this one too. It was one of these days. I was driving down the road, and I don't know if I got started later, but I just got later. But I was late. I mean, everywhere I went, I was just behind. And finally, I got to a stretch of road, and got the slow cars out in front of me, and I can go now. And a mile down the road, some vehicle pulls out in front of me and proceeds to drive about 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. Cell phone in one hand, and I don't know what was in the other one. But for the next 2 or 3 minutes, I came off about 1,000 reasons to why he shouldn't even have been out on the road. It's like, number one, you get a job. Number two, you're holding me up. Number three, I've got places to go. And on I went. About a mile later, I ran through radar. And I don't know if I'd have been going, I don't know if my radar would have pulled me over, but I probably would have been going a few miles an hour to speed limit. And it hit me. I had no right. You know, who was I? Who was I to say I was that much more important than this fella? Or I don't even, you know, it didn't really matter if fella or lady or whatever. You know, I don't know that, didn't know the person's story. I didn't know why they were on the phone. I didn't know if they were, you know, helping a depressed friend. I don't know. But I had no right to think I'm that much more important, that my day was so much more important than their day, to come to that conclusion. Philistines get tired of this ark. It just ain't working. We got a bad day. It's just bad luck. It's got to go back. So they send it back with a few things in it, you know, to help satisfy what they think is going to, you know, make it better. And I thought of that a little bit. It may not apply quite as well here, but do I give up on God some days? Do I just say, "God, you know what? I can't explain it out, and you ain't making sense, and I don't know. You're not here. You weren't in this one. This one just happened. And I go about my day. I'm going to go back here and read Samuel. Back in 1 Samuel here. Jump down to chapter 7. I'm just going to read verses 2 and 4. It said, the ark stayed at Kiriath-Jearim a long time, 20 years in all, and the people of Israel began to follow the Lord again. Samuel spoke to the whole group of Israel, saying, I was just going to read 1 and 2. Anyway. If you're turning back to the Lord with all your heart, you must, Jenny, go on and tell about removing the foreign gods and everything. Right? Now, who had the good luck day? Did Israel? Did Palestinians? They got rid of the ark. Things are going to get better now. Did physically say it's got to go back? Naturally, gravity pulled it back or whatever. We know the cows headed straight back. Or did it just go back by chance? Did all this just happen for absolutely no reason? What happened to the nation of Israel? They turned back to God. What happened to the Philistines at that time? They feared God. They feared this ark. Who received the glory? God said, I'm in it to receive glory. Just like Jesus said about the blind man. I'm in it so God can receive the glory. It happens so God can receive the glory. And you know what? Things in our life happen for that reason too. The unfortunate part is, I get so caught up in the explaining the way part of why or how it happened with how I think it should that I miss what God was trying to say. I miss God, and I try to explain it away. Ecclesiastes, I'm not going to turn there, but chapter 9, verse 11 goes off about, or says something to this, about the fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest soldier doesn't always win the battle. The wisest doesn't always get the food, and the smartest doesn't always become wealthy, and the talent one doesn't always receive praise. It doesn't always work the way we think. It doesn't always turn out the way we think it should. I'm going to get wrapped up here. I'm going to share you a story about Gary. It's not a Gary any of you know. In fact, I'm not even going to use Gary's last name. Because Gary said, I grew up in a small town. Knew about Christ. He said his father was a Christian. And but he never really, understood salvation, the relationship with Jesus Christ thing, and all that. And unfortunately, what happened so many times is he got older, he got involved with alcohol and drugs, and joined the local motorcycle gang. He needed some way to hook up to, to feel part of a brotherhood type thing. And giving something better, bigger than himself. A couple run-ins with the law, a couple bad relationships, and he started spinning out of control. He gave a date. He said November 28, 2003. He said I went out, on a drug binge. He said, I was out of my mind on drugs. Enraged, depressed. He said, but he said, I decided I'm going to make my mark in society. He loads up an automatic weapon, drives to a local bar where he visited on pretty numerous occasions, because he said there was a bunch of people there that always caused him trouble. He said, I was going to take them out, but he said, I was going to save one bullet for myself, the last one. He's on his way to this place. He said, there's three traffic lights to go. He said, and normally, he said, I drive with my music cranking loud. That's just the way I do things. He said, but this one day, he said, the radio was off. He said, it was completely quiet. And he said, he heard this voice. Don't do this. I have plans for you. He stops the car, turns on the interior, like he said, expecting to see someone in the driver or in the back seat. He said there was nobody there. But he said, all of a sudden, he said, I had this incredible feeling of sorrow and shame, followed by a strong feeling of peace. And he said, I understood right at that moment that Jesus was real. He drove back to his apartment. He said, I found the Bible my father had given him many, many years ago. He said he opened and he started reading and became a Christian. And Gary said, I had no idea at that time what happened. He said, I just knew it was different. Was it Gary's lucky day? Was it the people in the bar's lucky day? Or do we sit here and try to explain this thing out and say, well, there was probably a guy on the side street there hollering out and Gary just happened to hear it and it just worked out that way. Or do we say, you know what? God, you're here to receive glory. You're here to receive honor, and you're going to do it. We just have to understand that and quit trying to figure out how it happened or why it should happen or why it wouldn't or why it won't happen. I'm not going to read Romans 8:28 or 8:20, whatever it is, but I think we all know that one. You know, God has His plan, His purpose for life. And no matter what season we're in, spring, winter, fall, spring, summer, winter, fall, whatever. Sorrow, joy, need or want, or plenty or need or however. We can trust God. And he's going to get the glory. Despite how hard we try to say, it's got to work this way. And just like the ark, when they sent it back, they said, is it Israel's God that brought the sickness on, or did it just happen by chance? And I asked myself this question. Do I go through my life living it as a chance encounter? Or do I understand it's for His glory? Let's pray. God, that's my heart this morning. That, God, I understand it's for Your glory, no matter what. It's not by chance happening. It's not by luck or bad luck or luck of the draw or however you want to call it. But You're going to receive the glory. Father, we just pray we can understand that. And God, I just ask, Father, that this week, coming weeks, or wherever, that I don't miss encounters that You place in front of me because I I'm so hard trying to explain it away and trying to use some humanistic or logical or whatever explanation to figure it out. But help me, God, just to understand that you work and you will continue to work and you are at work. Father, I just pray we can leave here today encouraged and blessed. And we pray amen.